You're listening to 1440 in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, visit 1440.com.
I get to talk tonight about boundaries and relationships.
Bum, bum, bum.
I felt like Pastor Greg got the fun one last week, and this one feels a little bit harder because everybody gets a little touchy sometimes when you start talking about their relationships. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? I will put you at ease. This is not going to be about rules. Are you glad? How many of you feel like you have enough rules in your life? How many of you think you could use a good dose of rules? You need more rules. A few of you painfully honest and probably suspended. Anyway, never mind. Just kidding. I'd like to put up that logo now. And please don't shout out. Raise your hand. Who can tell me what this symbol is? Whose symbol is this? Target. Or for those ladies that shop their Target in the clothing area. You ladies know what I'm talking about? This symbol, even though it's probably going to make you think of the store the whole time it's up there, this symbol is a visual. How many of you guys are visual learners? Praise the Lord. I have a million partners in here. I'm very visual. I can catch stuff if you tell me, but it helps to see it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Somebody explains it. It sounds wah, wah, wah. They show you how to do it, and you see it, and you go, oh. Okay, so this is the image when God was teaching me about what I'm going to share with you. This is the image God used for me. And it's so perfect. God's so smart because the three areas of relationships that he laid out for me when I was studying and seeking him about some relationship, let's say challenges that I was having, this is what he showed me. And it's got three areas in it, okay? We're going to start in the center, and I'm hoping if you stare at that enough, even the line, don't stare at the line going up the screen. Just stare at the red and white. Then it will help give you a picture to relate to, okay? You are at the center of that target right there. Okay, that's your heart. So I want to talk to you first in relation to boundaries in your relationships. I want to talk to you about the center of your relationships. Let's call it the inner circle. These relationships that we have in our lives in that inner circle, those are very close relationships, very close friends, sometimes family members, sometimes friends at school, sometimes I like to call them divine connections. How many of you have heard that term before, divine connections? Really, it just means that it's when you meet someone and you're like, I know God connected me to that person. I don't understand it yet, but they're supposed to be my friend. I have a few of those in my life, and they're very funky relationships because really we don't have a lot in common personally. Like there's one friend I have, and she was like, we were introduced by another friend. And when I met her, I thought, okay. Really, there were no sparks. We didn't even have a lot in common, like in the natural. But as I got to know her more, and I didn't even see her very much, like months and months, we didn't even talk on the phone. She didn't even talk on the phone or text. I was like, how are you supposed to get to know somebody? It was very strange. But as the years went by, she has become one of my closest friends, and sometimes I go 6 or 8 months without even talking to her. She was a divine connection for me. Every time I talk to her, I know that she has a word from the Lord. Every time I talk to her, I know she's going to encourage me. She's been with me through some major things in my life. She was a God person sent into my life. Those are the type of people that are in that bullseye there. Now, you may be thinking about some of those in your head as I'm talking. Keep them to yourself, please. I want to share a couple scriptures with you. Because we can talk all we want, but if it's not backed up by the word of God, how many of you know it's not worth much? Hello. Y'all said in the beginning, the word is truth. The word's for me. If we don't get it from the word, it doesn't carry any weight for me. I have to have it in the word. So let me give you some scriptures. I think I'm going to give this stuff to Jen, like my outline, and I'm going to blow through these really quick. So If you're writing notes, don't freak out. If you're like really about doing that, you'll have them later. These are some scriptures that describe this inner circle I'm talking about of friends. Now, this inner circle of friends is the only circle in our target there that influence is allowed. What do I mean by that? People in that circle are people that your heart's open to, and you influence their life, and they influence your life. That's why we have to be very careful who gets in that circle. Psalms 101:6. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me, and I put, or be my companion or my friend. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister or influence me. That's not a normal friend scripture. That's someone that says, I'll look with favor. That means among a lot of other people, that person stands out. They're not normal. It's not a normal relationship. And you have to allow someone to influence you. That's that inner circle there. Proverbs 27:17 says this, you use steel to sharpen steel, and one friend sharpens another. Interesting. Pointy friends. Notice that it says steel sharpens steel. Did it say gold sharpens steel? Did it? It didn't. It's the same material. Why? Because people in that circle are like-minded. People in that circle have the same substance, the same guts on the inside as you do. You guys may be familiar with the scripture that says, I think it's King James, that says, don't be unequally yoked, right, with unbelievers. I don't believe, for me, I don't believe that that scripture just means someone that's not saved. I think it can even go farther and be someone that really doesn't believe what you believe. Doesn't mean you don't love them. Doesn't mean they're not in your life, but do they get in the inner circle? Nope. You guys are quiet. Is this heavy? It's like dropping a big brick on you? I told you this wasn't as fun, but it's important. Proverbs 18:24. There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. John 15:12-15, now this is Jesus. It's in red, it's serious. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I've loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. It's a lot of words, I know. But what was Jesus saying there? He was saying, you're not on the outside anymore. I'm letting you in and I'm sharing my heart with you and I'm telling you things that I don't just tell everybody. That's an inner circle friend. Jonathan and David. How many of you have heard their story from the Old Testament? That's real life, you know? Those were two real guys. They had real life stuff. They had a lot of the same challenges, just not quite exactly the same way we do today, of course. But it said that he loved him as he loved himself. Jonathan loved David that way. We're going to learn later a little bit more about their relationship. But when someone's in that inner circle and you allow them to have a place of influence and speak in your life, and they allow you the same, that's a very close friend. It's a very close friend. Now let's talk about for a minute that white ring around the outside. Because we kind of have a good idea about that inside circle. That's a tight circle. You know, I probably have maybe, I would say probably less than 5 people on the inside of my tight circle. You'll have to decide how many you have in yours. The white one. How many of you know what an acquaintance is? Isn't that a cute word? It's like you're going to a tea party. Acquaintance. You guys don't use it a lot at school, do you? Oh, he's an acquaintance. How many of you say that? Oh, some of you? All right, men. I wasn't sure if there'd be any men. All right. Ooh. Whoa, that was loud. An acquaintance is someone that you know, but they're not a close friend. That's all it means. It's like social contact. A lot of you are acquaintances to each other in here. Not all of you are best friends with each other and in each other's inner circle, but you guys hang around with each other, you know each other, but maybe you don't know a lot of stuff about each other. That's kind of that circle. Now, that circle is kind of a place sometimes where friends and relationships are that you're not sure if it's going to turn into that inside circle or not. You know what I'm talking about? Someone you're getting to know, someone that maybe you're not absolutely sure if you trust yet. That middle circle has all kinds of people in it. Let me give you a couple scriptures about that second circle. Sometimes, oh, that's cool. Number two. That's nice. Sometimes people start out in that middle circle and you realize, whoa, this is not a relationship I think I should be in. I think I need to back off. I'm not feeling good about it. Sometimes we encounter this. It's described in 1 Peter 4:4. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into a flood of wild and destructive things. That's not you guys, is it? You guys aren't into wild and destructive stuff, are you? So they slander you, but remember that they'll have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead. Sometimes we have people in that circle that are friends with us, but we can't really let them into that inside circle. Because we have to guard our heart as the scripture tells us to. Let me give you another verse here. Another reason why someone might be in that number two circle. It's pleasant to see dreams come true, but fools refuse to turn from evil to attain them. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. How many of you have any friends that would fit in that number two category? We know they're not from here. I'm sure it's school or somewhere else. Yeah. That you love them and they're awesome people, but when you walk with them, you get stupid. How many of you have any relationships like that? I love honesty. I've had some like that where I thought, man, when I get with that person, my mouth just gets out of control. What is the matter with me? Well, they're an awesome person with a very foolish mouth. So you got to go to ring number two. Now let me give you another analogy. Maybe you want somebody to be in that inside circle and be your close friend, but they have some problems in their life, and like you're trying to help them and witness to them and give them the word, and the relationship's not going so hot. And how many of you know what I'm talking about? Anybody? Let me give you a scripture, because I love wisdom. And sometimes, even though we have super good intentions, this scripture fits us. See if it fits you. Are you ready? Here we go. Why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? Anybody ever read that before? I wouldn't recommend this, but I had a friend once, and she had this friend that was always criticizing her and telling her what she was doing wrong and trying to fix it. And he had worse problems than she did. And they were the same problems. Anybody ever encounter this? Okay. So it's not just her. And she gave him a nickname. Please, I don't even know if I should tell you this. Don't call anybody this, all right? Do you have your solemn promise? His name was Mr. Plank Eye. Because there's one version that says a plank in their eye. So anyway, that was kind of funny. How can you worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, here, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't even see the log that's in your own eye? Hypocrite. Ugh. First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls and then turn and attack you. Sometimes there's friends that are in that number two circle that just need to be there till you get the plank out of your own eye. You know what I'm talking about? Because when you run together, it doesn't turn out good. the Bible talks about the blind leading the blind end up where? Anybody know? In the ditch. It's like a blind person driving a car and the blind person sitting next to him giving him directions. They're going to end up in the ditch. So sometimes there's friends that just need to rest right there in that number two circle. And now I want to clarify this. Don't waste what's holy on people who are unholy. That doesn't mean you don't give people love, and it doesn't mean you don't help people. Holy just means separated, consecrated. The only thing that makes us holy and separates us is the Word of God. And it's accepting the Word of God. And so what that's saying is don't put something before someone when they're not looking okay to be separated. That's like giving a really nice pearl necklace to a pig. They don't care about it. They have no idea what value it has. They're going to trample it, and then they'll probably turn around and chase you and attack you. That's what the scripture says. So you have to use wisdom, and sometimes those friends sitting in circle two, sometimes we fit in that category with them. Is anybody identifying with any of this at all? Okay. There's a reason I'm giving you circles. I'll tell you in a minute. Now let's talk about that outside ring, the red one. Number three. These are acquaintances, people you know of, that you're not connected to at all. You know who they are, but there's not a connection. Now, I have some pretty strong words out of the Bible here I'm going to read to you. James 4:4 says this, "Don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God?" I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Now, we have to keep this in perspective, and the Bible tells us to rightly divide the word of truth we've been given. That doesn't mean that you can't have a friend or know someone that's in the world. Because how would we ever help the world if we just hid from them all the time? You know what I'm saying? That's not what it's saying. It's talking about don't take those people into that middle circle. Don't do it. Because when you do, and you bring them close to your heart, and you open up and you let them influence you, and you try to influence them, who do you think has the upper hand in influencing? That's right. It's the world. Let me give you another scripture. Man, you can hear a pin drop in here. This is rough. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 18. Stop forming inappropriate relationships with unbelievers. Can right and wrong be partners? Can they? Hello. Can right and wrong be partners? Can light have anything in common with darkness? No. Can Christ agree with the devil?
No.
Yeah, y'all better answer that one. Can a believer share life with an unbeliever?
No.
Can God's temple contain false gods?
No.
Clearly, we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Wow. It's a stiff word, isn't it? That's number three ring. So in all of this, this is like a compass for you to have on the inside of your heart. The scripture says in Proverbs 4, the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines even brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like total darkness. They have no idea what they're stumbling over. Guard your heart above all else. That's a stiff command, isn't it? Does it say, parents, guard your child's heart above all else? Does it say that?
No.
Who is supposed to guard your heart? None of you know? I just read it. You guys are smarter than that. Give it to me. Who's supposed to guard your heart? I'm going to help y'all because there's still some of you looking at me like you're almost asleep. Do this. Me!
Me!
All right. The reason it says to do it is because it determines the course of your life.
Wow.
Not a bunch of other stuff. It didn't give anything else that determines the course, except for you guarding your heart. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet and stay on the path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. That little target right there is the diagram the Lord used for me, the visual for me, about guarding my heart. Because see, I like people and I like to talk. How many of you were in Super Kids and were in like my SC1 class or were connected? Y'all know I like to talk, huh? Yes. I can talk for a long, long time. Commander Greg, you know I like to talk, huh? Lots of times. Most of the time it's, yeah, anyway. I love people. But I also discovered that I worked really hard and wanted everybody to cram in the middle circle. I don't want anybody to be in number two. I don't want anybody to be in number three. Let's fit everybody in the middle. Let's just erase those and make it all one big red spot. And everybody can get in the middle. Because I like to be close to people. And there were some relationships in my life. One of them in particular, I'll give you an example. There's tons of examples for this, but this is one I'll use. One of them was a friend of mine that had lots of problems, and she'd call me all the time, and she'd unload on the phone all the time, all the drama, all the problems. And when she was all done, you know what I tell her? The same thing I told her the last time she did it. Was anything different from the last time she called? No. How about from the time before that? No. How did I feel? Awful. Heavy, drained, and I started taking her problems on. How many of you know, do you have a friend or anything? Maybe you're the one draining. You're the drainer or the drainee. Either way, it doesn't matter. Those people, I had to move her out of the inside to number two. Let me help you. Let me serve you. Let me love you. But I had to guard my heart about influence, about the weight of the problems, and all of those things. Because she wasn't being influenced by me. I was getting influenced by her. Did God have compassion for our problems? Absolutely. But in that situation, it became unhealthy. There began being pain in my soul. Sometimes when my phone would ring and I'd see it was her, do I answer it and save her life or do I not answer it and save my own? You know what I'm talking about? So there's all different types of scenarios for reasons that we want to guard that center. Because out of that flow, the issues and the course of our life. Now, this sets me up, actually it sets y'all up, for what I want to talk about now. That was an intro. I'm going to start preaching my message now. Are you guys ready? Yeah. I got a clock, don't sweat. This is the part that I'm getting to now, that as I was praying over you today and studying, when I study, when someone asks me to speak and I study and ask the Lord, okay, what do you want to say, Lord? Where are we going? What are we doing? It's like setting out an adventure. And I'm telling you, 2 hours into studying, I told Commander Greg today, I said, I feel like I'm beating my head against the wall. I can't find anything. Where does the Lord want me to go with this? What's going on? And you know, I had to take my own advice, SC1s. If you've been in the SC1 class, you've heard this teaching about how to prepare, right? You put it all aside and what do? You pray in the Spirit, the perfect prayer. So I start praying in the Spirit. And this is where the Lord took me, where we're going to go next. And I'm excited about it. How many of you have heard the term soul tie? How many? How many of you have read books on it? Good, a few. How many of you have no idea what I'm talking about? How many of you think it's a type of fish? like at a Thai restaurant. Soul, isn't soul a fish? Soul, bad joke, sorry. A soul tie, I'll tell you what it is. It's a connection that connects you, unites you on the inside with another person. Does that sound complicated? How many of you feel like it's over your head? Okay, use your faith. If you have your hand up, you got to use your faith extra. A soul tie is a connection that unites you from the inside to another person. Does that sound scary? Huh? No? I would dare say that most people in this room have them. You may not even know that you have them, but that's why we're going to talk about it tonight. There can be good soul ties, okay, and there can be not good soul ties. There's right soul ties, there's wrong soul ties, okay? God designed it because he made us. Spirit, soul, body. Who can tell me what the soul is made up of? Just yell it out.
Mind, will, and emotions.
What happens there? Oh, what happens in your mind, will, and emotions? What's that mean? Well, kind of. You don't eat. Or not everything. What's your mind do? What does your will do? Makes decisions, chooses. And what do your emotions do? Oh, my word. What do people's emotions do? Some of them go crazy. Some of them are off the charts. Some of them are way down low. Some of them you see immediately when you meet someone. Some of them you may not see for 10 years. But emotions are the feelings that people have. Everybody has them, even if they don't show them. So that's the part that we're talking about, getting connected to another person. We're not talking about anything else, just the soul. Now, I mentioned before about like Jonathan and David. In a good soul tie, this is the fruit you'll see. The power of God will intensify in the people that are connected. There's your measurement right there, if it's a good soul tie or not. Okay, you got it? Jonathan and David, let me read you this scripture. This is really lovely. Jonathan's soul was knit to David's, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. They made a covenant between them because he loved him as he loved himself. This was a covenant that they made that even went beyond death. You all know the story, some of you maybe. When Jonathan died, David even went and sought out his relatives to bless them and provide for them. That's how tight, okay, the soul tie was. Now let me talk about the other side. Okay, that was good and right, God ordained. Now let's talk about the other side. Any close relationship that's pulling you out of the will of God for your life in any way is a wrong soul tie. Say, I don't judge anyone else.
I don't judge anyone else.
I just look at myself.
I just look at myself.
Let me give you another statement. Anyone who does not respect your desire to please God should not be an influence in your life. You want me to read it again just in case? I didn't stutter on that. Anyone who does not respect your desire to please God should not be an influence in your life. Here's a quote I got out of a book today. Anyone who does not respect your assignment disqualifies himself or herself from a close relationship. Could seriously hear a pin drop in here. That's how you'll know the fruit. Healthy soul tie, healthy close relationship, healthy inside circle. You grow in God. The power of God intensifies. That steel sharpens the steel. Okay? There's fruit. There's lasting fruit. Wrong soul tie. Not God-ordained soul tie. Influence away from the will of God. discouragement about pleasing God, contrary to what you believe, that's not a God-ordained relationship. Now, this hits any area. Y'all, I'm not talking about dating, not talking about one area specifically. I'm talking about your friends at school. I'm talking about cousins. I'm talking about, you name it. You know who's in your little circle thingy here, right? I'm sure as we were talking, you put little names in the circles, or maybe should. Good, you wrote yours down. Now let me give you some info. I feel like I'm dropping like a mega bomb on y'all. This is what the Lord wanted tonight, so we're going to go with it, right?
Yes.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Y'all want to be healthy?
Yes.
Y'all want to be in the will of God?
Yes.
All right. Y'all want to grow?
Yes.
All right. Woo! Woo! I squeaked. All right.
That hurt.
Let me clue you in on how soul ties are created. Because this can feel like a gray area. You know how I know? Because I'm a mom. I have swam and waded through gray areas. God is my help. Let me give you three ways. If you're taking notes, it'd be great for you to write these down. Soul ties are created and reinforced. Three main ways. First one, we kind of talked about close relationships. Spending a lot of time with someone forms a bond. I don't care what your excuses are. Here comes the mom. I don't care what the excuses are, what the reasons are, or where you go, what you do. It doesn't matter. Time spent together. I'm going to go there. Physical time spent together. Okay. Time texting. Time's talking. Any time that you're conversing and spending time together, you are beginning to form a bond with anyone. That's how it starts. Remember, there's good and bad, okay? Don't get all, she's like, beat me up. No, there's good or bad. Who's your judge? Who's your judge?
Me.
You and God. Doing things together that specifically strengthen that connection between you. You fill in the blanks. I don't know. Putting your heart into the relationship. Okay, that was just point number one. Number two, words, commitments, and promises. How many of you know the words of our mouth have a lot of power? Really, that's it? I'm going to ask it again. How many of you know the words of our mouth have a lot of power? Okay, there's a lot of you that didn't raise your hand, so I don't know if you don't know, but let me tell you this. You're sitting in your seat because the words of God have power. You would not be here if words did not have power, because there was nothing. And it all came into being by God's
words.
Words have a lot of power. Think about this. When people get married and they rattle off the blah, 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 and they say, and then your part is, I
do.
That seals a covenant marriage. Yikes. Two little words, three letters. So think about this for a minute. Those three little letters have so much power. How much power do you think words have when you say something like, I don't think I will ever love anyone as much as I love you? Y'all are laughing. I will never see another person as beautiful as you for as long as I live. Or how about when you get hurt? I will never forgive you. You fill in the blank with the words. You're the only reason I want to live right now. I'm going to keep going because I'll hit it with all you. if they don't call me, I'm gonna die. If they call me, I'm gonna die. If he looks at her again, I'm gonna kill him. Words have power. How about these words? I love you. Could be good, could be not good. You guys get the point? Let me give you this scripture, because all of those things that I said are very binding. Very binding. Proverbs 6:2 says, "You are trapped by the words of your own mouth, and you're caught by your own promise." When you speak those words, whatever they are, you fill in the blank of what you've said or maybe what's been said to you. When you speak words like that, and they are out of intense emotion and desire, earnest feelings, you set in motion the power of those words to come to pass in your life. And if it's involving another person, most of those statements I said are connecting to them in a very unhealthy, ungodly way, and there are serious repercussions from your words. Whew. Okay. I feel like a drill sergeant. How many of you know you got to say what the Lord tells you to say? Okay. Now, there's good news for you. I know everybody was laughing in here. I myself personally have said words in my past, some of them maybe like last week. I get real passionate. I'm a passionate person, right, Commander Gray? Sometimes I get worked up over stuff and I spout off and I shouldn't. I've learned to repent and cancel my words. I don't abuse that, but there's the blood there if you need it. Amen?
Amen.
And you can. If there's words that you have said in the past, if words have been spoken to you that maybe don't feel like they hurt all the time or maybe don't feel like they're alive right now, but they creep up every once in a while, that's a good indication that there's a wrong soul tie there for you. So I just want you to be thinking about that while I'm finishing here. Number 3, soul ties are created and reinforced through physical relationships. Oh, I'm going to go there. You guys ready? You guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. A soul tie begins to form as you enter into a physical relationship with someone. This isn't just sex. I felt the air get sucked out of the room. Really, does anybody need resuscitated? Look around. Is there anyone off their chair? Everybody okay?
Yes.
All right. You know, I want to make a profound statement. There are things that lead up to that. That doesn't just happen, bam, right off the bat. Just take my word for it if you're not sure. When you engage physically with a person, I'm going to give some examples. Holding hands. Okay. Now, I'm not saying good or bad. Who's the judge? You and God. Holding hands, kissing, especially prolonged, sloppy kissing. Having your arms around each other. Doing the sandwich sitting thing where you can't even see any daylight. My kids are far away. I'm not going to do it with any of y'all. Where you can't even see like any light here, okay? That's engaging physically. Remember, who's the judge? I didn't say anything about it. I'm just doing facts, right? How about using your eyes on someone else in a physical way? Uh-oh. The Bible says if you think it in your heart, same. This is God's good and perfect plan for marriage covenant. But it's twisted and destructive when it's pursued outside of marriage. In fact, 1 Corinthians 6:18 tells us that it's a sin against your own body. Wow. What does all this mean for you? This means that there are several relationships that you are connected in that maybe your mom and dad know, maybe they don't. I'm not a stupid mom. I know there's tons of stuff that I don't know that my kids do, think, say, experience. Why do I know that? Because I was a teenager. And I was a very normal teenager. I wasn't real bad. Wasn't an angel, but wasn't real bad. So I know how it works. I remember. The scripture says, who guards your heart? Y'all, come on. Who guards your heart? You do. It's real easy when you're young to not really want to think about, and it's usually not a natural thing at your age. No offense, okay? No offense. For you guys to think ahead very much. It's all kind of about now. Unless it's something that's extremely beneficial and engaging to you, then you think ahead a little bit. But generally, how many of you just think about today? How many of you don't even think about today? There's more than actually think about it. How many of you maybe think about tomorrow or maybe next week, next month? There we go. Now we're hitting it. But generally, most people, especially teenagers, don't calculate too far into the future. I hope this gives you a visual for you to start looking at the relationships in your life. Okay, and you don't go to the people and tell them this. You don't go to your friend and say, I learned a 1440, I got to move you to a number two because I just can't let you influence me like this anymore. You're bad news for me and I'm getting busted all the time, so if you're not good, I might bump you to a number three. Don't, okay? This is for you. This is a tool for you to look at your relationships and judge them according to the word. Now, what happens when we move people into that number one? Especially when they're not supposed to be there. You get the results of the soul ties I'm talking about. You get connected from the inside to another person. And if it's not a godly, ordained relationship, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm not saying 100% this, but most of the time, God's not going to put you in that number one circle as a teenager with the opposite sex. I said it. Why? You may think you're ready to handle it, and you will feel like you're ready to handle it right up to the point that you crash. No warning. It's not till you crash and burn. Can I see the hands? Will you be brave? Have you crashed and burned? And you know what I'm talking about? Okay. I won't make you raise your hand if you did it twice, okay? You don't know till you crash. But you have to go to the Lord and use the filters of the scriptures I gave you to know who's supposed to be in that tight circle with you. I gave you measurements for the fruit, good or bad. And that's from the Word of God. There's no Heather version in anything I told you tonight. I read you a lot of scripture. Okay? Even adults, man, adults struggle with that. And what happens? You keep hauling people, especially the opposite sex, you keep hauling people into that number one, crashing and burning. Every time you crash and burn, part of your soul gets chipped away. You know why? Because you're still tied to them. And you don't even know it. Then you go into another relationship. Starts at a number two. Promotes to a number one. It's looking good. Maybe this is it. 6 months later, what happens? You lose another 20%. What happens? Now you're tied to another person. You got all these soul ties tied out there somewhere. And by the time it's time for God to bring the person, and there is the person for you. Amen? Can I get some amen?
Amen.
There is the person, not the persons, the people. It's not a buffet. One. He created them male and female. Doesn't mean he just made a boy and girl. He made her for him. It doesn't not say that, so I can believe that. Commander Kelly believes it. I agree. I think it's awesome. God's got to make you for each other or you'd kill each other. It has to be God ordained. But then you finally get to that place and you have 56% of your soul left. And you got all those emotions popping up from all those people you tied yourself to. And let me read you some other symptoms too. Because in those relationships, those unhealthy ones with unhealthy soul ties, okay? Most of the time, those negative emotions from being hurt, from crashing and burning, all those things, and don't tell me, I do not believe you, I won't even listen to you if you tell me you can go through it and not be hurt. You're just in denial. It's impossible. Fear of rejection. Hurt, loss, control, manipulation. All of those things are involved when there's unhealthy soul ties. If you're connected with someone and tied with someone and all you do is fuss and cry all the time when you're not on the phone with them because you're up and down, and cut it off. It's not right. That's not God. I want to give a little illustration. I think you guys get it, but I need two volunteers. Jen, give me the when I need to. I'm just about done, but I don't want to like, I want to come back. I want to get asked back, okay? I need a girl and a guy. A guy. Let me look for the right girl and guys. You, sweetheart, in the black jacket. Mm-hmm. Boy, you guys really wanted to do it. Oh! And let me have Mark. Okay. Can I have your wrist, please?
Oh, okay.
You don't get to keep the shoelace.
Oh, no.
I know, they're really cool, huh?
This is incredibly awkward.
I picked the ones that I would want if I get to keep them.
I like orange.
You like orange? Oh, good. Hold on, I can remember how to tie this. Would you guys believe I spent like 10 minutes trying to pick shoelaces for this? I like shoelaces, they're cool. Okay, wrist please. This is going to represent, guess what?
A soul tie.
You're quick. That's why I picked you. I knew you were smart. Not that you guys weren't. Okay. So, these are these guys' souls.
Whoa.
And they meet each other. I'm not prophesying. Wow, you guys. Don't get hyper spiritual. It's shoelaces. These represent their souls, and they've met each other, and they like each other. Totally cool. Right?
Yes.
And so then they find out, is this awkward?
No.
Okay. Then they find out they go to the same school, and they happen to sign up for the same classes.
Uh-oh.
Beep, 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 beep. Warning signs. And they start hanging out. A little more. And then she found out that one of her friends had his cell number. You got his cell number.
I did?
And so she starts texting him, and he's like, yes! You guys could do this better than me.
Yes.
I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Mark decides, wow, she's really hot.
Thank you.
You guys see what's going on here? And she's like, he's really hot. So we're going to put one more knot here. This is going to be a big knot. And then they start going out. I don't know what that means. Like, do you drive? It amazed me how kids can go out and they don't drive. Okay. You know what I'm talking about? We're going out. Where are you going?
School.
Okay. Sorry, mom moment. I was like, what do you mean he asked you out? You're 11. What's he going to... And then...
I'm actually 12, by the way.
He says the L word. He says, I love you.
No, I didn't.
Go with it. And she says, I've never felt like this before.
I haven't. Oh.
And then they start kissing. And they don't tell their parents. And blah, 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 you fill in the blank. All of these things, check this out. Can you please get apart now? Like, I mean, what's happening to this? What's happening to this? It's getting tighter. Yeah, that's what happens when you try to just get it. It hurts, doesn't it?
No, I was trying to take it off.
I'm going to show you. You can't. You're tied. Forever. I want to show you guys. Now, this may seem silly, but I want you all to look at this.
Look at it.
Because this is really a visual of what happens. Now, watch. Even though Mark is tricking, he's like, dude, you're weighing me down.
You're weighing me down.
I'm out of here.
I'm out of here.
What's this?
A knot. A knot. Baggage.
What's this?
It's soul.
And you're hauling it around, and he's missing it. Thank you for being... I'm going to give you a Starbucks on
please
me.
Don't,
I'm not going to cut you. I'm a trained professional. You got a cup of coffee out of this. Thank you for cooperating. Here. I know it was a little goofy, but I told you I'm visual. So, I have a question for you guys tonight. And as if I haven't been serious enough, I'm going to get a little serious on you. You are the only one that can see and feel inside your heart. Okay? People can see what happens on the outside with your actions and your words. But people can't know why. People can't judge motives. People can try, but they can't. That spot is reserved for God alone to see. God even knows and sees what you can't and don't or won't. So tonight, I want you to take just a minute, and if anything that I've talked about regarding soul ties triggers anything in you, could be really small and subtle, and if it is small and subtle, you've probably already argued with yourself several times while I've been talking. It could be really mammoth. It could be huge. It could be screaming in your emotions all of the time that you're ugly, that nobody wants you, that nobody could love you. And even if they did, you wouldn't trust them anyway. It could totally impact your relationship with other people in your life, and you may not even know what it is. Because of the hurts that have happened in the past. Those don't just go away. That's a lie. When it gets to the place that it's what I'm talking about, okay, not just a hurt feeling. That's not the same. Okay? That's not the same of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you've opened yourself up and you've tied yourself to someone else, or you've allowed them to be tied to you, and it wasn't of God. And there's hurt and all that stuff underneath. Maybe it only surfaces every once in a while, so you put up with it. You just kind of factor it into the way you are. That's not God. That's not what God wants for you. I know that there are people in here that are struggling with this, because that's the only area today that I prayed about and studied where there was anointing. It's not what I was going to talk about. I didn't really want to. It's the only place the Lord led. So I've already prayed over you today. I've already prayed over your heart. I've already prayed over your soul. And I want to give the opportunity, if you're dealing with that, if you've struggled with it, small or huge. I'm friends with some of you on Facebook. And I watch the stuff that you say. And I've looked in the eyes tonight of people I've seen on Facebook, and I've thought, they're struggling. They've had this. Because you can see it in the words. And I've been through it too. I know what it feels like. And I know what it takes to get through it. God can cut those just as quick and easy as I cut the strings tonight. And you won't have to be tied to that anymore. Now, there's a walking out, okay, of it afterwards, but the initial cut and removal of it is just like that. And the Lord is present to minister to you tonight.
1440 is a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. For more information, or if you have any questions about what you have heard here, visit 1440.com or email staff@1440.com.